Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Let's face it, cute babies get photographed, attractive girls get dates, good-looking men get promoted, and Erwin Lutzer says he's declaring war on this false standard. If you'd like to join forces with him, please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series is on Who Are You to Judge? Learning to distinguish between truths, half-truths, and lies. Erwin Lutzer is speaking on judging appearances, and today he's not mincing words.
We must declare war on this idea that you are judged according to your appearance. We must declare war as a church. We must declare war as families, because listen up, parents, your children or your grandchildren are being destroyed by that philosophy, which is taught 100 different ways. It's even taught in nursery rhymes. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? Well, who is the fairest? It's taught in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Oh, a little innocent little poem, but you remember that he was not allowed to join any reindeer games. Why? He was different until he was able to do something so wonderful and so supernatural. Now, Rudolph, we'll accept you with your eccentricities because of look at what you have done. All of that is seeping into society. All the magazines, all the television programs, all of the peer pressure say the same thing. Beauty is the gold coin of human worth, and woe to those who do not have it. Now, what I'm going to do in this message is to give you a biblical philosophy of the body. And I do need to say that because it is, I believe, a biblical philosophy, if this message were taken seriously, it could take care of the problem for those of us who are listening to it. But I'm not so naive as to think that it will, because the fact is that there is something within us that craves that significance, that craves acceptance, and says, my body must meet certain standards, and if not, I am inferior. Now, I do want to explode that myth, so you pray that God will give me the grace to do it as we look in His Word. Three very important propositions, statements that will help us. Number one, God created your body. God created your body. Now, I want you to listen to what God's Word says about this. It says, for example, in the book of Isaiah, and I will simply read the text to you, if I can find it here. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer who formed you in the womb. I am the Lord who has made all things. God was there when you were formed in the womb. Again, I'm reading from Isaiah. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, He has made mention of my name. By the way, do you like the name that you have? Many people want to change their name because some of us don't think that our parents made a very good, wise choice when they named us what they did. Well, of course, God knew what we were going to be named. And the Bible says, before I was born, He called me by name. And then that very famous passage in Psalm 139. Most of us know it by memory. I'm looking at it at verse 13. Psalm 139, verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. That's a reference to his mother's womb. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. I want you to know that as you were being formed, God formed you and created you and chose for you who you would be and what you would look like. If he had wanted to make you look like Cindy Crawford or Robert Redford, he could have. But he didn't, did he? But now what I want us to do is to look at the implications. Let's look at the implications. There are certain things that could be called unchangeables that God gave us in the process of having created us in our mother's womb. What are those unchangeables, as Bill Gothard calls them? First of all, the features of your body. The color of your eyes, your height, the shape of your face. All of these things were a part of God's construction process. Yes, all of this was made by God. Now, of course, there are things that we can change, and I'm not opposed to that. We can improve what God decided to give us. But at the end of the day, the fundamental reality is he chose that for us. There was an ad in the newspaper that said, I guess it was for eyeliner or something like that. Please don't nail me down too exactly. But its bottom line was, let us give you the eyes that you should have been born with. What do you mean the eyes that you should have been born with? It is God who chose the color of your eyes. And even someone I knew when I was growing up who had one brown eye and one blue eye, God chose those for him too. Can you accept that? First of all, the features of your body. Secondly, the color of your body was chosen by God. Here I'm talking about your racial mix. Now, hear me very carefully when I say this. If you do not accept your racial background as a gift of God, either you will have this great sense of inferiority or else a sense of anger and superiority as you try to get even with others and as you try to affirm your significance in other ways. So I need to say this very loudly, that your racial background and your racial mix is a gift given to you by God. Are you content with that? Can you accept that? Another implication, of course, is that gender was determined by God, whether you are male or female. And I need to say it out loud, I suppose, that those who have sex operations, going from female to male or vice versa, I believe, are rebelling against the God who created them. And that's why in the Old Testament it says very clearly that even cross-dressing is prohibited, because God did not want the blurring of the genders. And if God created you, you say, yes, but I've always wanted to be a man. God wants you to be content having created you as a woman or having created you as a man. Let me give you another one. The limitations, the disabilities that you have, they're a God thing. Moses stuttered. He wasn't very good at speech. And that was one of the reasons he didn't want to become the leader of the people. He says, give it to somebody who can talk better than I can. And God says in chapter 4, verse 11, I've often pondered this verse. Wow, it takes your breath away. Who hath made man's mouth, or who makes the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord, your physical disabilities? Now, of course, if they can be improved, if there are things that medical science can do, that's perfectly fine. That's the way in which we operate in our world, knowing the fallenness of our experience. But at the same time, what we must do is to recognize and to see God in them. This past week, I read a story about a boy who was born with a birthmark that basically covered most of his face, and it did not bother him. He did not seem to be concerned about it at all. And somebody asked him how he handled it. And he said, well, as soon as I was old enough to see it, he said, my father always said that I was given that birthmark because that's where an angel kissed me. And that I have been kissed by an angel. And that God gave me this birthmark, he said, so that my father could always pick me out in a crowd. Now, technically, of course, an angel didn't kiss him. But the idea is thoroughly biblical. this child must be able to accept this as a God thing. You say, well, that's hard to accept because he's going to have kids in school make fun of him. He's going to be discouraged because he's going to be rejected. He's going to experience it. Yes, yes, yes. But that's where the parents come in and affirm the child and help him to understand that he is loved by God and that his form was created by the Almighty. And God was there in the womb. What pressure that takes off from people. Your mental capacities. Again, this can be changed. We can improve it. But folks, just let's talk more plainly than I've been talking a few moments ago, possibly, and simply say that some of us are never going to be geniuses. We're never going to be able to have the brains and the ability and the giftedness of others. So if we begin to compare ourselves with others, we're in bad shape. Now, here's what I want you to do. Especially the young people who are here today, I would like you to look into a mirror, a full-length mirror, if possible. Look into that mirror and say, Father, I thank you for the way in which you created me. I thank you for my limitations. I thank you for the things that I don't particularly like that I would like to have had differently. Please forgive me for thinking you were not around when I was created. I pray that you might grant me the ability to accept who I am and I don't have to be anybody else. What freedom that gives to people to finally give up striving against God. The Bible says in Isaiah, woe to him who strives with his maker and who says to his maker, why hast thou made me thus? Isaiah said, does the potter not have the right over the clay to make it as it wills? Must the clay jar look into the eyes of the potter and complain? Of course, we do all that we can to try to make ourselves look as good as we can, given our limitations, but we accept those limitations as from God's hand because we know that he is the creator and our father. What an opportunity to be free.
My dear friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and you know that there are those who have walked with God for many years, and they are still dissatisfied with their lot in life and the way in which God created them, and it's even a bigger problem, of course, for young people. We here at Running to Win are committed to getting the gospel of Jesus Christ and helping believers in this very confused culture. Would you consider becoming a ministry partner, an endurance partner? These are people who stand with us regularly with their prayers and their gifts. Here's what you can do to find more information. You go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Click on the Endurance Partner button, or if you prefer, call us at 1-800-215-5001.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up today's portion of Judging Appearances, the seventh in a 10-part series on Who Are You to Judge? A Study in Discernment. Next time, tune in for more insights on Judging Appearances. Who Are You to Judge? Can be yours as a set of CDs sure to inspire and inform. They can be yours as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.